Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 359 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. Today's kind of solo conversation where I share some insights and topics and things that I see in my consulting and coaching journey is going to come from a podcast that I did recently where I recorded it with somebody, and his background was as a computer programmer and technical person. So he was a developer and a programmer who then made his way through life in organizations, ended up getting more involved with sales as an engineer, as an analytical person, and is now running a global sales team as the main sales leader for that organization. So he went from computer programmer and developer to global sales leader with an organization of 2,000 people around the world. And one of the things that I find fascinating, and I wanted to talk about this and highlight it even outside of that when that episode does come out, is that I think that salesperson, that background can be very, very effective. Now, one of the things that happens in sales and in the perception of people in the world is that there's a certain personality type to be successful in sales. There's a certain way that you've got to be if you want to be successful in sales, or what it takes to be successful in sales. So think of that charismatic, storytelling, life of the party, schmoozer, you write that one that's giving lots of compliments, that has lots of stories, that's over the top. They're very energetic. Maybe they're very magnetic, which means they just start talking, or they're in a room and a crowd is forming and people are just attracted to them. And so what happens is that's what you see, right? You see the flashy salesperson. And I'm not even going to talk about the slick, manipulative salesperson and the slimy one that makes sales feel icky. I'm talking about on the positive end of the sales spectrum and the persuasion spectrum, but done in a flashy way. That person where you see them and you're like, they must be in sales. It just feels like they're in sales. They're in sales mode. Maybe they're talking about things, or they're always trying to sell. And it just has that way. And that's what the world, I'll just make this kind of assumption and blanket statement, is that's what the world, or at least most of the world, feels that is what a salesperson is. And that's what it takes to be successful in sales. And truly, that's why I wrote my book. That's why I wrote Selling with Authentic Persuasion, is for everybody else, for people like myself, right? If you don't know my background, I have a bachelor's degree in marine biology. I have two very analytical parents. That my mom was in finance before she retired. My dad was an engineer and project manager and director of an engineering department before he retired. And great, loving parents, very analytical on that end of the spectrum, or on the behavior matrix, if you will. And so I was raised in an analytical household, not fans of salespeople for sure. I got my bachelor's degree in marine biology, would rather have spent time with sharks than with people. And that's where I come from. Never thought I would be in sales, never wanted to be in sales. Even when I started in sales, it was very analytical and problem solving from that analytical side, and that scientific side is how I viewed it. And I made that into a successful career and now doing what I do. And I think a lot of why I am successful like I am is because I took what I had and made those into strengths. And this episode, and what I want to talk about and focus on, is that difference between what people think it takes to be successful in sales and what people see as that ideal salesperson, the salesman or saleswoman, versus where a lot of people come at it and what I think could actually be more successful. So positives and negatives. Positive of the flashy, let's just say the flashy salesperson, the charismatic storyteller, is that they draw people in, they get people excited, they get people fired up, they get people bought into their vision, right? And their vision being whatever they're selling. If they're selling vacuum cleaners and they're excited, you're feeding off of that excitement. It seems exciting. That's great. Oh my gosh, this is so fun. You're right. This does sound fantastic. All these features are exactly what I need. I totally need to vacuum every single crack in my house, and this would help me. And I totally need to get everything out of my carpet because my current vacuum sucks. So excited. So amazing. They've got you. They got stories. They got charisma. They got all of that. That works. Works really well. People like to be on board with something. They like to follow somebody else. They like to buy into somebody else's vision, and they like the excitement. We all do. Everybody does. Now, there's the skeptical side, and we're not even talking about the manipulators, but we're just talking about the positive people who are selling something and helping people out. The downside with the flash, the downside with the sizzle, is that it fades. It goes away. If you're selling only on flash and sizzle and excitement and charisma and storytelling, what I have found is that leads to more buyer's remorse for those customers. When the sale is over, when the transaction is done, the card is swiped, or the payment is made, at some point that flash, that sizzle, that charisma goes away and you're left with the product. Now, the question is, was that product actually something you wanted? Did you actually want or need a vacuum cleaner or a new set of knives or help with your credit card debt? Or did you buy into the excitement and now you're stuck with something you didn't actually want? And that's where the buyer's remorse, the buyer's regret kicks in, which is somebody gets excited, the endorphins wear off, and then they're stuck with it. Now, of course, there are times where there's the sizzle, there's the flash, there's the charismatic salesperson, and it works. It is exactly what you want. And if you hadn't got excited, you would have stuck in your comfort zone and you wouldn't have changed. You wouldn't have done anything different. And that's what it took. And then you bought from them and you're happy and you're excited and this is perfect and it's fantastic and you love it and they were right. And that's a home run. That's what you want. If there's one thing I know, it's that sales is full of failure. Even if you're a Hall of Fame level sales professional, you can make a great income despite losing more than you're winning. If there's one aspect of sales that most people fear and what keeps a lot of people even wanting to get into sales, it's getting hit with objections. That is why I wrote my latest book, The Sales Consultant Guide to Overcoming Objections, Yours and Theirs. This is the first in my new series of short books, guides filled with what you need for helping you improve your selling effectiveness. No fluff, no long-winded stories, no filler to make it seem more valuable, just actual foundation-building strategies to help you become aware of the true nature of why your prospects bring up objections, the different type of objections, and then specific ways to overcome them that are universal to most any sales process, product, service, or style. Go to Amazon.com today and get your copy of A Sales Consultant's Guide to Overcoming Objections. Or if you'd rather, as a gift to the listeners of this podcast, email me at jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com and I'll send you a complimentary full version of it as my thank you for listening and supporting this show. What I've seen, though, is a lot of those flashy sizzle salespeople, they are used to selling that way. They know they can get people convinced. They know they can get people on board. And whether that person needs it or wants it is secondary. And that's where the buyer's remorse comes in at a larger scale and can cause some issues. Then on the other side is, let's say, the engineering or the analytical salesperson. And what happens in those situations is it's somebody who probably has no sales tactics, has no sales strategy, isn't trying to be exciting, maybe doesn't have very many stories, doesn't feel like they're charismatic. There are obviously engineering and analytical people who are charismatic. They have stories, they have excitement, but generally that's not the primary tool, right? That's not the primary thing that they're pulling out of the toolbox to lead with in the sales process. Looking at it from an engineering or analytical standpoint, what that person, because I'll speak for myself, what I did was I looked at, okay, here's this person in front of me. Let me break this apart. Let me take apart their situation as much as possible, figure out the problem or figure out what can be tweaked, figure out how it can be better, figure out what solution they might need, do my best to put it back together, with that solution and help them on their way, because that's what I do, right? As an analytical engineer, scientific person, it's about breaking it apart, looking at what, how it ticks, what it takes, what happens, how it works, where it's not working as well as it could, and then filling in that and then handing them off. It's what I do now as a consultant. It's what I did as a salesperson. And when I encounter, let's say, a sales engineer or a technical sales engineer, or someone who's selling and helping people make decisions, but sales is not their focus. The engineering, analytical, programmer, developer side is really where they come from. Then it's a different approach. It's a different conversation. And what's interesting, and this message is for everyone out there who doesn't feel like they're the flash and sizzle, but they want to be successful in sales, or they feel like they could be successful in sales. This message is for you, because the prospective customers, the world out there, the ones that are afraid of salespeople or have bad experiences of salespeople, have generally bad experiences or negative experiences, or have heard bad stories about the flash and the sizzle end of the spectrum, right? And if you're the flash sizzle end of the spectrum and you're listening to this, which I hope you are, then you realize that what you want to do is the flash and the sizzle to help people make decisions that are right for them, not just right for you. And then it's a home run. So it's not about changing who you are and being less flash, less sizzle. It's about the intentions and helping the right people move forward. If you don't have the flash and sizzle, if you're not like that person, like me, I'm not like that person. Even now, I mean, you might be listening to this thing, Jason, you're nuts. You're totally flash. You're totally, no, I'm not. Even when I'm in a sales role, I'm talking to potential clients who want to hire me for consulting. It's not flash. It's not sizzle. It's not charisma. It's not wild stories. It's not all of that. It's just, what is your issue? How can I help you? Let's get in there. I want to help you get to a better place. And so if you're in that category, if you're in the non-flash and sizzle on the analytical side, or the you just want to help people and you don't have that part, the buying public actually, in my experience, responds really well to that, because they're expecting flash and sizzle. They're expecting manipulator. They're expecting the used car salesperson mode, even if that's not accurate. They're expecting that. And that's what they're thinking they're going to get into. They're expecting a battle with a salesperson. They're expecting someone who's going to push them for their own motivations. Then they encounter you, and you're there to solve a problem, and you want to help. And I have seen so many people be successful long-term over the flash and sizzle when they come from the analytical side. They want to help. They can actually solve problems, and they're not doing it just because they're tricking someone or getting someone all fired up. They're just moving people forward towards a solution. And what I'll tell you too is, if you're like me and you come from that analytical, scientific, engineer, maybe the other end of the spectrum, what I've found is that I start conversations with people, I'm not super outgoing, not super flashy, not super sizzly, not super charismatic. And as the conversation develops, which I think is a good thing, and I've seen engineers do this, as the conversation develops, as I uncover somebody's issues, once I tear apart their situation, I look at all the pieces and I figure out what I can do to help them get to where their goals are, I get excited. Then the energy comes in. Then the maybe the sizzle comes in, the getting them on board and being like, this is amazing. Like, I see your situation. I see where you want to go. I know I can help you there. I know my product or service can help you there. And now I'm excited. And so when you do that, when you start out a certain way and you're just trying to help, and then the excitement comes later on, that will also feel more genuine, because now you're excited based on what you've uncovered, not excited just because you're excited and then you're hoping to uncover something. So hopefully that helps for the people out there listening to this who you don't know if you can be successful in sales. You're in sales and you're worried about how you can find a way to be successful, and you're not that flash and sizzle salesperson, then this is for you. Hopefully you took some things away from this. Also, make sure you get Selling with Authentic Persuasion. Subtitle is Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker. And that's really an important thing, because there's a lot of people out there in a sales role where they're acting like an order taker, right? And it's not a permanent label. I think anybody can shift if they want, but they're acting like an order taker. They're worried about selling. They're worried about pushing people. They're worried about having to make someone buy. And for me, I know that there's a different way It's authentic persuasion. And when you do that, you can be effective being who you are in the framework that works. So make sure to check that out. Also, the audiobook is coming out soon. That has been submitted to Audible, so I'm super excited for that. And that's it for this episode. I will catch you on the next conversation about authentic persuasion. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.